As many of you probably know by now, Dr. Stan Toler, who was one of my heroes in the faith, passed away in November. And we all have people that we look up to, don't we? He was the author of Each One, Disciple One, the book that we went through in 2017. And I think Mark and Pam probably have maybe one of the last two signed copies of Each One, Disciple One. I remember something about the order, and you guys called, and they said, "Oh, we'll just send you a couple, and we'll even have Stan sign them." And I thought that was pretty awesome. Stan was one of those guys that was approachable, and he ended up becoming, after pastoring Oklahoma First Church of the Nazarene, was elected as a general superintendent in the church, and was just one of those guys that never became unapproachable. And he was always available. I even called him one time and asked him some advice, and he was just gracious enough to give it to me, and just appreciate him so much. Another couple that has influenced our lives so much is Dr. Crawford and Sylvia Howe. Many of you probably don't know them, but Dr. Howe served on this district as district superintendent for 19 years, and I had the privilege of several of us here had the privilege, Doug and Renee, and Thomas and Amy Joe, I'm sure you remember, and Sean, you remember Dr. Howe and Ainsley. They had the opportunity to lead our district for 19 years, and at that time, we had a lot of churches on the district, and we still do, but They had a lot of responsibility in helping churches problem solve. And I remember Dr. Howe just spending time with us around the table talking about some things, and you know how people kind of pour themselves into you without you even realizing it. Dr. and Sylvia Howe were that for us. They continued to pour their lives into us and still do today. We pray for them every week, and but I remember Dr. Howe around conversations, this would come up frequently, and it was one of those things that was said that stuck with me, and it became a life formational event for me. I remember him talking about churches, not specifics, but churches that faced incredible hardships. And by the way, when I talk about churches for the next few moments, I'm talking about you and me as individuals too. When we face incredible hardships, we have the opportunity to either live by faith or live by sight. And he said by the time they called him, the church had sometimes already created a plan. It was a good plan, but it was may have been, and sometimes the plans were faithful, in other words, full of faith and optimism, but they still needed him there. And sometimes the plans that the church board and the church leadership team came up with were faithless plans. And by the time they had called him in to ask him what to do, the church had already started down a path of pursuing a plan that it was the best that they could come up with. Amen? It was the best in imagination that they could come up with, and yet it was a plan that did not represent a plan of faith. And I remember him saying something to this effect as he would coach those boards. I remember him saying, "Now friends, let's not assume that God has done everything he's going to do and now it's just left up to us." And doesn't that apply to your life and mine? When we face problems and we come to the end of ourselves and we think we're all out of options and we come up with a good plan, forgetting that God may have a different plan even after we've come up with a really good plan. Let's not overlook the possibility of God revealing His power and presence in a brand new way in this moment. Let's not rule out His divine intervention. And I thought that was so good. The title of my message this morning is Trusting God Even When My Plan Seems Pretty Good. Trusting God Even When My Plan Seems Pretty Good. Well, this morning I feel a certain sense of emptiness and loss because Grandma Ruth Kinnersley is not with us this morning. And she has went on to be with Jesus. How old was she? 95. And she has went on to be with Jesus. I think Grandma Ruth attended every district event that there ever was on the Northwest Illinois District. That may be a bit of an exaggeration, but I think, no. Renee says, no, that's pretty much right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And by the way, the funeral is Saturday at the Mantino Church of the Nazarene at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, if you'd like to attend. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Last week we talked about Mary and the plan that God had chosen for her or offered to her. She had the ability to accept that plan or reject it. And so let's look into the life of Joseph this morning and see about how God offers his plan and what Joseph does with it. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is a very undoubtedly difficult situation for Joseph. I mean, when you think about it. He had entered into a betrothal relationship, or what we would call, what's that word? When you're an engagement. They had entered into an engagement. In other words, the date was set that they were going to be married. And in the course of time, Joseph discovered that his fiancée was pregnant. And by the way, in those days, when an engagement was set, it required a divorce to dissolve the engagement. And so that's why the word divorce is used here. It was a very serious proposition that they would be setting a date and engaged to be married. So he knew that he wasn't the father. He knew that he had had no intimate relationship with Mary. And can you imagine what that would have felt like for Joseph to experience this, all of these emotions that would accompany what his mind would rationally come up with as to the reason that Mary is pregnant? Can y'all come, y'all feel that? That's like all of the range of human emotions all wrapped up into one thing, one event. And in his mind, he knew he wasn't the father. But in his mind, these things only happen one way. In other words, 2 plus 2 equals 4. There's no other way that his fiance, Mary, is pregnant unless there's been intimate relations. And he knew that it wasn't him. Now, the Bible says that Joseph was faithful to the law, and so he was respectful, and that's why one of the reasons, of course, we admire Joseph is that he was a man of integrity. And the intimacy and the consummation of the marriage didn't come until after, in Jewish law, didn't come until after the marriage ceremony was complete. So we know that Joseph was a man that followed the law, and he knew that it wasn't him. He wasn't the father. It was obvious in his mind, and we can't really blame him at all for thinking rational thoughts, right? I mean, we would all think this, that it was obvious, though he didn't know how or when or where or who, there had been some impropriety happen here. Therefore, because he loved and respected Mary, he had in mind then, he came up with a plan to divorce her quietly. He respected and loved her, but something wasn't adding up. He didn't know the specifics, but something wasn't adding up. So he came up with a plan on his own. And his plan was making the best of the situation, making the best that he could of the situation. He came up with a plan that he would divorce her quietly. He didn't want to expose her, the Bible says, to public humiliation. And I think maybe if he had confided in a friend, maybe if he had asked a trusted confidant what he should do, I think that they too would have come along beside him and said, Joseph, man, this is hard. This is tough, but what you're thinking about doing makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense that because you love her so much, because you respect her so much, but obviously, Joseph, something's not adding up here. We don't know exactly what it is, but something's not adding up. And I think that sometimes in our own lives, for me, this might happen seems like it happens every day. I've been wrestling with this message and realize that this happens way more than just once in a lifetime. The reality is that we face problems and situations and trials when we, every day, as soon as we open our eyes. And we look at the situation and the problem and the trial, and we say, all right, because I'm created in the image of God, I've been created with the capacity to imagine and envision and create a plan that will get me through this. And so I'm going to create a plan to deal with this problem. Can you hear me all the way back? It may be something to do with a bill that came in. It may have something to do with a relationship. It may have something to do with a physical need. And we create a plan. And we may even talk to our friends and say, Ella, what do you think about my plan? And Ella would say, well, yeah, have you, tell me the options, and here's my option. And she'd say, sounds good to me, makes sense to me. And so I think sometimes we are like Joseph in that when there is a problem that we look at and we think, there's really no other option here than this plan that I have created. And we might even check with a friend. Does this make sense? Makes sense to me. And then we test it with our own conscience, and our own conscience says, makes sense to me. And so we begin down a road of implementing a plan Can you hear me all the way back? We get down to implementing a plan that may not even be what God would have us do. You see, God may have other plans altogether. And we find, of course, in our scripture that God did indeed have other plans, and that was for Joseph to receive this faithful message and to live in faith and to acknowledge that God is up to something that he could not even ever imagine in his own little mind that was bigger than he had ever realized would ever be. You see, if we didn't know about the dream that Joseph had, we would commend Joseph for being respectful. If he followed through with the plan that he came up with, we would say, good job, Joseph. You were respectful. You didn't expose her to public disgrace. You loved her. And yet, something wasn't adding up, and you had to make some kind of, you had to get right with the reality. Something wasn't adding up. Yet, we realize that God had revealed his plan to Joseph, and this plan was all about salvation, grace, and faith. Now, here we are in our own lives, and we face problems that in our own minds seem like really we're caught in this funnel of options, and we're really left with one option. And we look at that and we think, there's really nothing else I can do except this. Can you hear me all the way back? There might be a situation in your life that physically, emotionally, financially, even legally, you're looking at and you're thinking, I really have no other option. I have no other option except this. This is what I've got to do. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And you see, you and I can come up with a plan, but if it's not tested against the scripture as a whole, that plan is going to lead not to life, but to death. Let's look again at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, a reminder of God's omniscience and his omnipotence. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Let's be honest, guys. The Lord of the universe, this brain cannot comprehend everything that he is. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. Now here's what I love about Joseph. Because he was walking with God, he drew from his experience, cumulative life experience of walking with God, and he created a plan. Now, that's wonderful. And by the way, you and I should be living like that. Living in reflection of who God is, our knowledge of the Word, and using our minds, because we've been created in the image of God to create and imagine the possibilities of what's possible, okay? The problem becomes when we rely on that bank of knowledge that we have from yesterday and don't compare it with what God wants to do today. Amen? And so it's very vitally important that we spend time in the Word every single day, that His mercies in our lives are new every morning. Because Joseph walked with God, he drew from his experience, that's a fine way to live. However, God had brand new light for him the day that the angel showed up and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Amen. You see, when we're spending time with God every day, we're receiving his heart, we're receiving his perspective, we're receiving his eyes, we're receiving his ears, and we begin to see that the bank of experience that he has for us is a knowledge pool. It's something that I should draw from every day. But God also has new things every day for us from his word. It's inspired. The Bible is inspired. It's alive. And the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That word is alive in us today. You see, Joseph, for Joseph, God was giving him brand new light that day to walk in. Now, he had already started down a different path, but he was a good man. He was a man of integrity, but God had different plans for him. Amen? Here's the naked truth. There are some causes of us choosing another way. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, remember God called Adam and Eve together and he said, you can eat from every, you just use your imagination what kind of dishes you're going to whip up with all the fruit of this garden. You can eat from every fruit that's in the trees of this garden, except for that one in the middle. You can eat from every other fruit tree in the garden, but don't eat of the one in the middle. The one in the middle, don't eat that one. So they knew that they shouldn't eat from that one. So when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. Even though she knew, she gave it to her husband who was also with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What are the causes of us choosing another way, even though we know what God has already said? Well, appetites of the flesh and curiosity to discover. Adam and Eve knew the right way, but in their curiosity, they chose to live by sight. That looked like a beautiful piece of fruit hanging on that tree. The next one is Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 through 13. I love this because it's the story of, you know, Moses bringing the people out of Egypt. They had been released from captivity. And remember, they had just crossed the Red Sea and all of Pharaoh's soldiers got swallowed up by the Red Sea. And they were now walking into the wilderness. They were walking into freedom. They were walking into the promise. Well, they were walking into the way to the promised land. There's a little ways to go yet. But they had been freed. They had been released from captivity. It was a generational prayer to be released. And they're trucking out in the wilderness feeling happy. And then you know how it is. Happiness lasts about, 10 minutes. And then you start to feel some kind of human need. Like, I'm really, really getting... You got any more water in that canteen back there? No, I didn't bring it. We're all out. Boy, this dust out here is really getting thick. Anybody got anything to drink? No, no, we're all out. Wait a minute. You mean we're out here and none of us have anything to drink? Took about 10 minutes. And so they looked to Moses and said, Moses, and they got frustrated right away and said, Moses, how could you bring us out here? Out here in this desert. Now, they'd forgotten about the plagues and the slavery and the bondage, and they got out here in the desert and they said, Moses, how could you bring us out here, all the way out here, without anything to drink? And so God had a little conference with Moses, and God said to Moses, he said, Moses, I'm going to reveal my glory. And he says, I'm going to have you take your staff, and I'm going to have you walk up to the rock, this rock. And Moses, I'm going to do something that it's just going to blow your mind. I am going to water everybody's thirst from a rock. I'm going to quench everybody's thirst from the rock. And Moses thought, that's going to be awesome. But there was still a part of him that was so frustrated with the people. Remember that part where Moses came up to the rock, and it's in this scripture, and he, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock with his staff. And God was really displeased, because what did it demonstrate? It demonstrated that this provision was going to have to come by force instead of by grace. And water sure enough gushed because the people were thirsty. They needed to be They needed water. But then you remember how it turned out? God said, because you struck the rock and didn't just speak to the rock, you're not going to be able to enter the promised land, Moses. Now, on the way to the promised land, they lost faith many times, got distracted when Moses was away for a short time, fell prey to the appetites of the flesh, lost faith in the word of God in regards to their enemies, and disobeyed direct orders from God. Moses was frustrated with their lack of faith. These people were like herding cats, he thought, I'm sure. But he was human too. And in his frustration, he struck the rock. And when he struck the rock, he forfeited God's best for something else. Next illustration, and the final one, is Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We love this story because I think we can all really relate. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and said, go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. And he headed for Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a boat waiting in the harbor that would take the fare that he could pay and sail in the opposite direction. This must be God's will. Can you hear me all the way back? He came up with a different plan. And everybody would say, Jonah, I can't blame you. God was sending you in some rough territory. These people were brutal to the prophets. They skinned them like animals. You don't want to go there. And Jonah, the plan that you come up with makes sense to me. I would do the same thing. Find a boat and go in the direct opposite direction. Get out of there. And that's what Jonah did. You see, Satan can always put a lot of wrong ways right in front of us when we're willing to consider them. You've got to go to God to know the right way. The wrong way will usually come up to you as an opportunity that you just can't pass up. That opportunity will offer to relax the requirements that God has asked you to live by, making the possibility hard to pass up, and at the time it feels like a no-brainer in that, you know, really, it's the only thing left that I have to do. I mean, it's the only option. I have to get out of here. But this thinking doesn't leave room for God. Jonah knew the right way, but in his fear, he chose the wrong way. James and John, remember, asking if Jesus wanted them to call down fire from heaven. They said, Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven and just destroy all these people? And Jesus is like, no, that's not how we do things. They had come up with a perfectly good plan to eliminate, annihilate their enemies. Right? Let's just burn them. Let's smoke them. And Jesus said, guys, that's not how we do things. Remember when Peter lopped off the ear of Malchus? When Jesus was being arrested and Jesus put the ear back on, he said, Peter, that's not how we do things. Well, it made perfect sense at the time. I mean, somebody coming to get Jesus, somebody threatening Jesus, I gotta protect him. So, curiosity of the flesh, frustration, fear, and anger are all reasons that we choose something other than God's perfect plan. Yet Joseph chose to do what the Lord had told him. When the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Well, the reasons we must choose God's way are numerous. For Moses and Jonah, you see, the eternal destiny of souls was in their hands. they had to be missionaries because God was counting on them to share the word and the light with them. For Adam and Eve, you see life and death both for them and us personally and for the world was at stake as to whether or not to follow God. For Peter, James, and John, fact is, if they didn't follow God, they weren't going to be establishing the principles of the kingdom as they established the church. And it would be messed up from then on out. If doing life according to God's plan is important for these reasons, it makes sense that we would want to choose it for our families, for our church, and for even our culture that we're living in. Remember when your parents, when you asked them, why do I have to do this? They would say, because I said so. God's because is life-bringing. It's life-filling. Why do I need to do this, God? Why do I need to go to do this? Why would I do that? Because it's life-bringing. It's salvation-bringing into this world. It's life-bringing into your world. There was once a very overweight man who always stopped by the bakery on his way to the office each day, and he would pick up pastries and donuts for his co-workers and the staff and the company to eat on their coffee breaks, and they all loved it, and he loved bringing them, and it was great. Not to mention he'd pick up a little something-something for himself, you know. However, one day he decided that was enough, getting way overweight, got to stop this, got to go on a diet and lose some of this weight. And in order to avoid the temptation, he began to reroute his route to work. He decided to stop picking up the treats from the bakery, and he took a different route in order to ensure his avoidance and eliminate the temptation. The surprising thing is that the people that he worked with were even rooting for him. And they said, good job, we don't need that stuff anyway, good job. Don't worry about the treats and donuts. We enjoyed them while they were there, but don't worry about it. We want you to do what's best for you. But one day he had to run a quick errand in the neighborhood, and it just happened to be right by the bakery. And he approached the bakery in his car, and he said to himself, maybe God wants me to stop by the bakery today. Maybe this whole errand thing is about me stopping by the bakery. And he began to think about picking up some goodies for the staff. And he began to think about the cream cheese rolls that were warm and delicious. And he says, I haven't done it for a while now, and they would probably really enjoy it, which I'm sure they would. And so the man prayed, Lord, if you want me to pick up some donuts, treats for the people back at work, make a parking spot available to me right in front of the bakery so that there's no question in my mind that this is what you want me to do. And sure enough, there was a parking spot in front of the bakery as he prayed on his seventh trip around the block. You see, we're all good at rationalizing nearly anything that the appetites of the flesh, the fear of man, frustration with people can conjure up in our minds. Here's the cure. Luke 1:38, Mary responded last week, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Jesus was about to be born to her, and it was going to just turn her life upside down. Our scripture today, Matthew 1:24, Joseph got up and did what the Lord commanded him. You see, this is the life of faith. The life that in the face of incredible impossibilities chooses not to walk by sight. In other words, the best plan I can come up with may not be God's plan. That's why we've got to spend time in the Word every single day and make sure that we're hearing new from the Word of God and make sure we're receiving His Word for us that's fresh and new for today. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says, not that. but that's okay. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For this the ancients were commended. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, we find that all of these people, remember that verse, that chapter is just full of the heroes of the faith, Moses, Noah, Jonah, Abraham, who were still living by faith the day they died. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Grandma Ruth, still living by faith. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been looking of the country that they had left, they would have been had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. In closing, as our worship team comes, the situation you're facing right now, think about it. It might be financial. Don't lose focus here. The situation that seems impossible right now in your life might be financial. It might be physical. It might be emotional. It might be relational. It might be a legal problem. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, I really have no other options but to do this. And it may end up to be, in fact, a good plan. That even your lawyer would say, makes sense to me. Makes perfect sense to me that you would do that. Maybe even your friends would gather around you and say, you know, that makes sense. But is that a decision based on faith? And let's not rule out the fact that God may want to do something that we have not even imagined yet in this particular situation that you're thinking about. Let's not rule out that God may want to reveal His power afresh and anew in this situation. For the Bible says that with God all things are possible. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, safe from all harm in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith. Wouldn't be a very good song if we sang living by sight, would it? I'm living by sight, yes, coming up with my own plan, and it seems right. Just doesn't make a very good song. But I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Thank You for sharing Your light and life into our lives right now. Thank You for rescuing us from our own plans. Plans that seem right at the time, and yet they're plans that do not include faith and do not include life. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be part of Your great plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you stand and sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," with us? I didn't even plan this, but that's just...
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Amen. God does those kind of things.
Yeah, this is a call to us. We are the faithful.
Couple of announcements as we close this morning. Christmas open house. It's Thursday night for Living Well, right? Yes, Thursday night. So that is Thursday night, 6 to 8. I don't have the date right here in front of me. So enter through the if stairs are an issue, enter through the front, the antique shop there on Mason Street. Jeanette says ladies breakfast Saturday, December 16th will be at Lost Lake. Bring already prepared food, ladies, like yogurt, rolls, muffins, and fruit. And we'll have breakfast followed by a short devotional. And then put together birthday kits for the food pantry and crisis care kits for the well ministry. By the way, the well ministry will be starting sometime after the first of the year. Hearing from KSB on Thursday and Friday evenings here at Living Well. Thank you. It says that right here. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Said that right? Okay. 5:30 to 6:30. This new ministry is a partnership with KSB for us to serve as a distribution point for food to the community. And we'll be setting up a schedule of workers and establishing a task list. Please see Tracy to help as a volunteer there. Also, we're adopting a family in need this Christmas. We've identified a family, and we'd like to bless them this Christmas. There's a list of family things that they need listed in your bulletin. If you'd like to help with that in other ways than that, please contact Jeanette or myself for more details. All right.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You are dismissed.